This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Israel, Hamas, a tactical conversation about what's going on and where we're going, plus some human trafficking talk and a great light in the mood. Next. Okay, let's deal with it. Didn't get a chance to deal with it last night, so let's deal with what's happening right now. The Israel-Hamas mess. I am going to handle this thing as it moves forward. You should know, we here on I'm Right, we are going to handle this thing a bit differently than virtually everyone else I've seen, and this is what I mean by that. We are not going to emotional vomit. Here's what emotional vomiting is. I've seen endless amounts of it. Because these scenes are so horrific, dead women and kids and bombs, and it's so hard for human beings to take in these images. People have been emotional for 72 hours now, at least. And everyone's way too emotional and way too raw. You've seen too much misery, too much suffering. It's a lot. And it's going to be a lot going forward. And I'm about to explain that. As we move forward, it's going to be a lot. In fact, as we move forward, there's a good chance it's going to be worse than what's already happened. That's the reality of what we're about to go into here. So on this show, we're going to try to handle things as coldly as humanly possible. Maybe that sounds mean to you, but that's how we're going to handle it. Not that we don't all have our own strong emotions about things, but you are too raw. Everyone's too raw. I'm too raw at this time to continue to pour gasoline on that. Let's deal with what's happening. Let's deal with where we are. Obviously, you know, Hamas launched a massive raid over the weekend into Israel. And let's understand something. That's what this was. This was a raid. This was a military raid. Raids are a huge part of human history, and they're always horrific. And yet, we read the word raid when we read about a Comanche raid or a Mongol raid or a raid of this kind, and it almost sounds almost fun, right? Oh, I want to get on a horse and go take a couple bags of food and then ride off, hooping and hollering. That'll be fun. But this is what raiding is. You take a military force, You jump into a place, hostile territory. You grab as much booty as you can, whether that be actual like loot, money-wise loot. Women are always a part of these horrific raids. You kill as many as you can and you ride off with the hostages. You witnessed a military raid on a large scale, a very, very large scale. And we're gonna come back to that large scale here in a moment. Now, as you know, we released $6 billion to Iran. That $6 billion hasn't actually been used yet, but money's fungible. You know how this works. We've been giving money to Iran. Why has America cozied up to Iran? This all began with Barack Obama. This all comes back to the America-hating left. Anybody who's an enemy of America, they have a natural affinity for because they also hate America. So Barack Obama gets elected. Who hates America the most? Iran. Well, in Barack Obama's eyes, that makes them his best friend. And since then, Joe Biden has continued on his pro-Iran policies. Now, let's get to that part of it, the Iran part of it. I really dislike the people who run Iran. You dislike the people who run Iran, there's no question. But they do have funds, and they do have a level of sophistication, and that's what we saw here. We saw a sophisticated, financed raid. Please do not make the mistake I see so many emotional people making over the last 72 hours. Again, this is why we're going to handle this very, very coldly. Don't do this. It's just a bunch of dumb goat herders and mud huts. They coordinated a paragliding attack into a sophisticated nation like Israel and took 1,000 of their citizens, or took a bunch of the hundreds of their citizens. You can hate them all you want. I do. Don't discount the level of sophistication and finance that went into this whole thing. Where do we go from here? What happens from here? Well, we'll get to America here in a moment. Israel has no choice. I don't really care what your opinion is of it. They were just raided by a bordering country. You can go into all the history and whatnot. You can do all that all you want. If Mexico launched a 1,000-person raid into America and they spent 24 hours killing and raping a bunch of American women and then carried off 200 of them back to Mexico, you'd be standing in line at the recruiting office right now, and so would I. Israel must respond in a way that any nation state would respond. Otherwise, you're not a nation state. Here's Benjamin Netanyahu.
Israel is at war. We didn't want this war. It was forced upon us in the most brutal and savage way. But though Israel didn't start this war, Israel will finish it. Once the Jewish people were stateless, once the Jewish people were defenseless, no longer. Hamas will understand that by attacking us, they've made a mistake of historic proportions. We will exact a price that will be remembered by them and Israel's other enemies for decades to come.
Okay. They've begun a siege, the airstrikes, the bombings, and they're going to invade next. Now, let's pause for a minute here. I just want you to look at an image, and then we're going to let you go because we have so much show to get to here. I have a grave concern that no one else seems to share in their emotional state right now. I want you to look at this. Look at this image or video of bombed out Gaza. Look at that. Now, you may see a lot of death and destruction and all these other things, and yeah, okay, all that stuff's there as well. An invading army, Israel's, they're going to go into there. You know what I see when I look at that? I see sniper nests. I see booby trap heaven. As a 300,000-man Israeli army marches into a 140-square-mile area that contains 2 million people, I see a future that is going to involve a lot of very, very dead people. And I know that is heavy, but all this is heavy. And I just thought a little cold tactical perspective might help center us all again. Because what's coming, and I'm not saying it can be avoided, I'm not even saying it should be avoided, but what's coming might very well be more than you can handle. So I just want to finish with this, because all that probably did make you uncomfortable, but I'm right. I want to finish with this. I want you to know that on this show, we are going to cover what happens, but we are going to do so in a way that tries not to make you more raw than you already are. Tonight's show is going to be heavy. There ain't no avoiding that. But moving forward from here, I'm going to do the best I can to keep you and me informed without making you miserable. All right? All right. Now, let's ask Lisa Daftari, because she's, you know, a foreign policy expert, but really an Iranian, Hamas, all that. She really knows a lot about this. She's going to join us next, and we're going to talk to her about it. Before we do that, let's remember something. No matter what happens on the global scale, we have battles we have to fight and win at home. Many of them. Not physical battles, by the grace of God, but we have many battles, political ones. Battles that we have to fight, not just at the voting booth, but with our wallets and where we bank. We fund some of our worst enemies by where we bank. These financial institutions, these banks are so evil in this country now. Cutting off people's bank accounts, not allowed to buy guns, it's terrible. Then Old Glory Bank emerged. Old Glory Bank. Started by people like Larry Elder and John Rich, started by people who share your values. You're never going to get your account canceled for speaking your mind or buying a gun at Old Glory Bank, available to every American, all 50 states. All you have to do is go to oldglorybank.com. Start banking with a bank that doesn't hate you. Oldglorybank.com. We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
אנחנו מטילים We are imposing a complete siege on Gaza. There will be no electricity, no food, no water, no fuel. Everything will be closed. We are fighting against human animals and we are acting accordingly.
Okay, this is a big boy conflict now. Not one but two carrier groups on the way. An invasion of Gaza, 2 million people. Iran, Iran is involved, they're not involved. I don't know. I bet Lisa knows all this stuff. We need to spend like 3 hours with Lisa today, but we won't. But joining me now, Lisa Daftari, of course, editor-in-chief of the Foreign Desk. Lisa, all right, there's so much to do here, and let's just dig into it. Hamas, what is their capability? I'm going to set aside all this emotional vomiting that's been going on for a couple days. Let's deal with military capability. How organized are they? How financed are they? How sophisticated are they? And I ask that, Lisa, because that raid, horrific as it was a big boy military raid. That was sophisticated.
You know what was horrific about it? Many things, but one of the things that made it ultra, ultra complex is that it was both a war, like a military raid, as you said, but it also had elements of ISIS, this gruesome shock value, blood, beheading, raping, horrific. Hamas on its own, we haven't seen them launch this kind of attack, obviously, for years. They've been kind of poking at Israel and kind of every summer. It seems like they love summertime operations, and they'll start and then Israel will finish and the world will be like, oh, Israel is so bad and Israel is so evil, not really discussing the fact that they're launching missiles into civilian areas and into Israel, but that's for another day. Right now, this complexity, this sophistication of this massacre obviously has Iran's regime fingerprints all over it. We know for a fact, Wall Street Journal broke the story. We knew this, but Wall Street Journal outlined the details of how Iran's regime orchestrated meetings with Hamas leaders and others. By the way, this wasn't just Hamas. We've been saying that for the past 72 hours. This was at least up to, I should say, not at least, but up to four different terror organizations, proxies that are funded by Iran's regime, that got together in Beirut, meeting with Iran's regime, until it, which led up to the final green light that said, bless you, be on your way, go kill as many Jews as you can. You know, their capability obviously is augmented by the help that Iran's regime is giving them financially, militarily, and perhaps in terms of training.
Okay, Lisa, well, that's not surprising, but that leads me to a big concern I have that no one else seems to share at this point in time, but I sure have it. I'm looking at bombed out rubble in Gaza. Israel says they're going in. Well, going into an area with 2 million people hostile to you, or at least probably hostile to you, and trying to clear out an area like that is a very difficult military campaign. For the best militaries in the world, there'd be mass loss of life if you're facing a sophisticated enemy with weapons here. How can they not see, or did someone anticipate Israel's response? Are they walking into some sort of a trap here?
You know, what's crazy to me is when they now want sympathy for this retaliation that Israel is launching, because you think, what did you expect? You were parading dead bodies and beheading 40 babies in one kibbutz alone. Did you want Israel to just bring over more sweets for you guys to enjoy while you're celebrating? Or did you actually think there would be consequences to what you're doing? The other issue here is that the Palestinians are victims. I don't want to dismiss or diminish from the fact that there will be lives lost and on both sides. And of course, Palestinian lives matter. But Palestinian lives don't matter to their own leadership. And that is something that no one talks about. Hamas puts them in harm's way. They put weapons in schools. They use these Palestinians as human shields. Whenever Israel goes in, they're not looking for a death toll. They're not. Hamas, if you watch the massacre, if you watch a lot of these videos, which they're very proud of, by the way, no one's hiding anything. They are actually flaunting what they did. If you watch these videos, they were after civilians. They were after teenagers and college students who went to a festival similar to Coachella. They wanted that high death toll, 300 young people right there just spraying them. They wanted to behead babies, 40 babies in one shot. This is all by design. Israel, on the other hand, when they go into these areas, they are very strategic. They are targeted attacks. I've been doing this for so many years. I can tell you about all these different operations and how they go in. They announce that they're coming in. They try to get civilians out as best as possible. Hamas, Palestinian Authority, they tell them to stay. Why? Because they want that death toll to go up. It helps their case. It helps their story. People will deny this. People will say I'm crazy and I'm just making up stories. These are conspiracy theories. They're not. We're talking about a moral issue here. We're not even talking about are you pro-Palestinian or pro-Israel, which is crazy because what are people pro-Venezuela, pro-Cuba, and pro-Nicaragua? We don't talk about these things, right? But everyone has an opinion on Israel. And most people who have a very strong opinion anti-Israel and pro-Palestinian couldn't place those two places on a map if their lives depended on it. It's just pure propaganda. And that death toll helps in that propaganda to say, wow, now the Israeli tanks are coming in and that death toll is going to rise. We have to talk about this from a moral standpoint and look at Hamas as a terror organization that has brutally come in and killed civilians to raise that death toll. And now, if you want to talk about the Palestinians as victims, we can, but they're victims of Hamas. They're victims of Mahmoud Abbas. They're victims of Palestinian Islamic Jihad, and nobody is talking about it.
Yes, there's no question about that. My question is, I'm worried about the safety of Israeli troops as they go in. This is 140 square miles. It's a population of 2 million people, now bombed out buildings. Anyone who knows anything about Stalingrad knows that is heaven for an insurgent group, especially an insurgent group who's willing to use their own population, as you just mentioned, as human shields. I don't think that this coming invasion is going to be a quick mop-up operation, as so many seem to think. This is going to be an ugly affair.
Ugly affair. Look, 300,000 reservists have been called back, many of them leaving the United States, by the way. Many of them leaving the United States, leaving their families, leaving their pregnant wives. We're looking at so much footage. They all have a story. They all have families. They now have to be called into war. They did not want this war. They're now called into war, many of them being called to the front lines. And as you said, it's senseless on both sides, but when you look at this, of course, it's going to be booby-trapped buildings. It's going to be rough. It's going to be very rough, and they have to up the ante in this case. Look, Bibi Netanyahu promised a retaliation that would be monumental, because this massacre was monumental. It was not anything we've seen in the past, and of course, they anticipated a retaliation that would be commensurate with the attack that they launched. So now it's the time to do that. And unfortunately, lives lost on both sides, very, very senseless. And of course, our prayers are with the people of Israel and the peace-loving people in the Palestinian territories who don't want this, who don't want Hamas and are actually calling out terrorism. Much more so than the students at Harvard and the protesters on the streets of Times Square that don't even understand this conflict whatsoever. And it's really a shame. We just saw a statement by BLM Los Angeles in favor of the Palestinians. It's not the time for that. It's not the time for that. Are you in favor of beheading and raping? Are you in favor of that? I mean, I don't see any DEI groups from any major organizations and banks and world affairs groups coming out and saying we support the people of Israel. What's going on here? Are we for Hamas? Are we really for this ugly terror? It's pure evil. And the fact that we even have to say this and outline this is pretty, pretty heinous.
Lisa, what's Iran get out of this? They obviously help plan, coordinate, finance the whole thing. Now, Iran is many things. Stupid is not something I would call them. Irrational, maybe, but not stupid. Why would you risk something like this? This isn't a couple rockets. This is a major invasion. They had to know there's going to be a response, and not just for Gaza. Israel's hitting Iran in some way or another hard in a way that is going to hurt. How can they not see that coming?
Right. Well, Israel has always viewed Iran as an existential threat and has always gone after very, very targeted weapons depots or deliveries and things like that, whether it be in Syria or elsewhere, wherever they can catch them. It's not always broadcasted and people don't always know about it, but obviously Israel has looked at Iran as the biggest threat. They've sworn to take them off the map. Right now, the biggest announcement here by this attack, this is the Iran regime's war against Israel. It's just being fought by proxies. But it's an announcement not just to Israel, but also to the United States. The United States has coddled the Iran regime, has cozied up to them, has begged them for a deal for the last 3 years. And they knew that they have us, you know, that they have the leverage. They have the upper hand. They got $6 billion for a prisoner deal. Again, that check hasn't been cashed yet, which everyone thinks, wow, it's a conspiracy theory. No, it's not a conspiracy theory. When you tell someone, just the talk of giving someone $6 billion gives them financial confidence that money is coming in. It might just be the last installment that they are spending. It might be money that was given by the Biden administration to the PA because they reinstated aid that Trump said we will cut because it is going towards terrorism. Look, there's a lot of fingerprints on here, but the United States did embolden Iran's regime. Iran's regime did want to launch this war, gives them street credibility. It takes pressure off of them back at home because now they're involved in this. And the silver lining here, Jesse, I will tell you, is that I'm seeing a lot of people inside Iran giving support to the people of Israel, just like we saw the people of Israel giving support to the people of Iran over the last year when they were out on the streets protesting their government. So there is a lot of camaraderie here because I think that both sides see that they are victims of the same abusive government, that is the regime in Iran. And very, very unfortunately, Jesse, you and I are living in a country where our government and our White House is the one who is emboldening the wrong guys, the bad guys, the terrorists, the killers, the murderers, and they're not even admitting to it.
God, so true. Man alive. Lisa, thank you so much. I can keep you for an hour, but I'm going to let you go. I appreciate it.
Of course.
What a mess. I'm going to talk to Alex Marlowe about this, other things too, next. Before we get to that, let's do this real quick. Let's talk about saving dogs. You see, everyone really has a heart for abandoned dogs. Even people don't even really care for pets that much. They don't like the thought. I would hope you don't like the thought of somebody taking their dog. I just can't imagine this, taking their dog and just dumping it on the side of the road. People do this all the time. They'll leave. People will move houses and leave their dog behind. It's a common thing. Delta Rescue is there to take them in. Delta Rescue is the world's largest care for life, no kill animal shelter, the largest in the world. These dogs, when they get to Delta Rescue, are taken care of the rest of their lives. How do they do this? With you. With whatever you can send to deltarescue.org. They do this with your donations. They've been doing it a long time. The whole world knows about them. What a wonderful cause. Go to deltarescue.org and give what you can. All right? We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way. And we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're distracted. I'm distracted. I'm not judging any of us. Not you, not me. War kicks off and dead kids and things like that. We're going to be understandably distracted. I'm not saying don't pay attention to that, but let's do make sure we remember that we have domestic enemies here who have bad plans for you. And our president is a criminal. He sat down with a special counsel over the weekend, Robert Ur, trying to explain himself and his, quote, mishandling of classified documents, of course. He's always mishandled it. He didn't just steal them. He always mishandled them. Joining me now to talk about old Joe and many other things, Alex Marlowe, Breitbart News editor-in-chief and author of this book about Biden and his crimes, Breaking Biden is the name of the book. I love that. Okay, Alex, while everyone else was distracted, Joe Biden's finding himself in a bit of hot water for one of the many crimes he apparently has committed.
Yeah, the classified documents is just a slam dunk crime. And the fact that we're not focusing on it is purely a more evidence that the media hates this country and wants to protect the worst people in it because they're useful to them politically. It's every bit the same thing as Donald Trump did, aside from the fact that Donald Trump was president and could have declassified any of those documents. Joe couldn't have declassified any of the documents that he had. And not only could Joe have not have declassified them, he hid them or not hid them in a place where literally Hunter Biden could have gotten them. So by his Corvette, in his garage. I mean, this is clearly criminal, and everything that's being done to President Trump should be done to Joe Biden times 100.
Okay, I'm worried that I already know the answer to this question, Alex, but so how's he going to get out of it? Because as you pointed out, it's such a black and white crime that me, idiot Jesse, can pull up my cell phone right now and I can look at a picture of the classified documents in Joe Biden's garage. It's a picture available on the internet because that moron published it himself. That's a crime. It's a felony on camera.
Yes.
How's he get out of it?
Well, he gets out of it because the people who are going to be in charge of investigating him are people that he's either put in charge or know he's very useful to them. This is the reality of the deep state. And Jesse, I don't know if you've had the misfortune of having to live in Washington for any period of time, but I was there for almost a decade. And it's everything they say about it is true. It truly is a company town. The company is the government. And the biggest asset that that company, which is our government, has is Joe Biden. He is the one that is able to continually humiliate himself by expanding budgets, by trillions of dollars we don't need. He is the one that makes sure all the most powerful people are not held to account. No heads roll whenever they make any mistakes. It's his system. He set this up. So, no, of course he's not going to be held accountable unless it's Republicans who do it. But more likely, Jesse, it's the voters.
Alex, everyone knows about Hunter Biden by this point in time. He is what you might call infamous. And people know a little bit about Jim Biden, not a bunch, but most people don't even know there is a Frank Biden. They don't understand how deep the Biden crime family goes. Can you explain Frank Biden? Who is this?
Yeah, one thing I did in the book, and thank you for highlighting it, Jesse, is I went through all of the relevant Bidens, and Bidens pop up everywhere in gnarly deals. One of the ones that kind of blew my mind was I realized that Joe's cancer moonshot was really a grift on behalf of his son-in-law, Ashley Biden's husband. We have a big article on that at Breitbart if people want to check that out. But Frank Biden is a guy who has no skills that are known. It's a, we have no idea what he does or why he's doing things. And yet he managed to find himself in deal after deal. The most egregious one was this thing called Mavericks, which was, he saw a big charter school grant was coming down the pike in Florida. And he somehow got himself in the charter school business, quickly setting up these schools, getting tons of investment. Well, all the schools failed the children and went out of business quickly. But not before Frank got to have some joy rides and a bunch of private planes and make a bunch of money. But the thing that was the craziest story that I found, maybe even in the whole book, but certainly when it comes to Frank, was about 25 years or so ago, Frank Biden, who had already had his license suspended because he had some DUI, stuff like that, was semi-operating a car, meaning it was his car. His friend was driving it, but he was operating the stick shift. Yeah, that was really happening. They had it going twice the speed limit, and they ran over a pedestrian, killed him, and drove away. So the guy ended up pleading guilty to manslaughter. Frank got a big fine slapped on him. He never paid the surviving family. So he owed these two girls, these two daughters, all this money. Never paid it. Interest accumulated until it was close to $1 million. The family finally tracked him down when Joe was about to become vice president. And Joe helped him dodge it. Joe helped him hide like a coward. He was just bad people all the way around.
They really are the scummiest people. And something people don't realize, Alex, is how long they've been scummy. You know, Joe Biden was kind of ignored as vice president, a bit of a punchline. Most vice presidents are ignored anyway, but they've been scummy since forever, since before he was a senator. The family's just kind of gross.
One of the grossest things, if not the grossest, I do cover some of the Ashley Biden diary in the book, so I won't say it's the grossest thing. Oh. But the second grossest thing that's covered in the book is actually something that took place in 1974, so nearly 50 years ago. It was Joe Biden who was doing an interview for Washingtonian Magazine with a blonde named Kitty Kelly. And his wife had passed away from a car accident a few years earlier. And Joe decided that he would use this time to regale this young reporter with vivid sex stories about his deceased wife. Gnarly stuff, some of it clearly fabricated, but talking about how even when on the campaign trail, Joe did a long day, he could still satisfy his wife in bed. It's all this completely nasty stuff. The blowback was so big for Joe, Jesse, he never sat for another interview for 15 years. He couldn't bring himself to another interview for 15 years. That's how nasty this was. Almost 50 years ago, is not talked. It's the grossest stuff. He's always been gross since the very beginning.
You say Joe Biden bears some responsibility for all this craziness we're seeing in Israel right now, don't you?
I do, 100%. And again, there's another article, Breitbart, where I lay out all the evidence. But you start with the most obvious one, which is that he left all these weapons for terrorists to get in Afghanistan. The Afghanistan pullout was insane. It was the worst moment of Joe Biden's presidency, and there have been so many bad moments. But one thing I did compile in the book as I went through when I had to look at a lot of sources, compiling all the weapons that he left that got in the hands of the Taliban, who immediately started selling them to terrorists. We're talking about UH-60 Blackhawks, M-17 helicopters. We're talking about gravity bombs, machine guns, hundreds of thousands of rifles, small drones, body armor. All this stuff was left there for the Taliban to get and then to sell the worst people on the planet. So it follows that, of course, terrorists were going to get it. But if you look through the whole rest of his philosophy on national security, he's empowered people like Iran and Russia, and he's taken away power from places like Israel, who are allies in the region. Not to mention, look at his philosophy on the border. He doesn't believe in national security, or else why would you have an open border? The guy is completely lost on this subject, and so often, Jesse, he goes it alone, which is super scary.
Golly. Alex, thank you so much for exposing this family. I want people to go buy Alex's book. Go get it. Go learn about just how dirty your president is. Alex Marlowe, my friend, I appreciate you and Breitbart very much.
Jesse, you're so great. And sorry for the phone ringing. And we appreciate everything you do. You got a great show.
Appreciate you, bud. All right. Look, it's a heavy show. I warned you at the very beginning it was going to be, right? We have another heavy topic. But human trafficking is not something we're ever going to let go on this show. It's slavery, and we're going to talk about it a little bit next. Before we talk about that, I'm sure you have seen the recent statements out from Black Lives Matter, essentially cheering on the worst things in the world, rape and murder and things like that. What a gross organization, right? Disgusting! Did you know that you support them? That I Every time I use a credit card other than coin, every time I use a big bank credit card, I support them. Wrap your mind around that. All these big bank credit cards we have, they all support Black Lives Matter and Planned Parenthood and all the other stuff. We don't want to do that. You don't want to do that, and I don't want to do that. So what options do we have? Jesse, they're all like that. No, they're not. There's one that isn't. Coin. C-O-I-G-N. Who are they? They share your values. They promote your values. And it's the same as all the other ones. Unlimited cash back rewards, all these things. But we can stop funding the evil communist street scum in this country in many different ways. One of the easiest ways is switching your daggone credit card. Go to coin.com/Jesse. Again, C-O-I-G-N. coin.com/Jesse. Let's put our money and our credit cards where our morals are. We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
What I told people, I was making a podcast about Benghazi. 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something we've constantly tried to bring attention to, and I'm glad it's getting more and more attention recently, is the slave trade that still goes on. And that's what human trafficking is. And maybe we should switch to calling it that to wake people up more. The slave trade has not stopped. It's taken on a different form. And the women and children across the planet who are, as you and I, as we do this every day, you know, we live normal lives, who live in hell. It's just heartbreaking, and we try to bring awareness to it as much as humanly possible so we can try to eradicate this kind of evil. Joining me now, she wrote the book about it, Lee Dundas, author of Just Stand Up, which I would highly recommend, My Fight for Freedom, From the Brothels of Asia to the Streets of America. Lee, I don't even normally read the subtitles, but I thought that one should be read because that's an eye popper. What is it? What are you talking about?
Well, just as it sounds, I've been fighting injustices worldwide for over a decade now. A lot of our work was centered on the child brothel trade, the child sex slave trade in Southeast Asia, and also here domestically. I rolled with Navy, ex-Navy SEAL type guys into the brothels of Asia to get the girls out, try to take out the bad guys, the pimps, the traffickers, the buyers. And as well, for the last 10 years, I've sat on a congressional human trafficking task force that was founded by Congressman Ed Royce, who headed the House Foreign Affairs Committee, to get the word out on what trafficking is and start to stiffen penalties in various states and local jurisdictions on the people who would buy and sell children for sex.
Lee, could you, obviously there are kids watching, it's a family show, but this is a rough subject, so just use your own discretion here, but can you describe this industry? Because one of the wildest things for me about it is how it takes place right under our noses. It's all around us. It's here in America. And people don't know. They don't even know what they don't know. Explain it.
Yeah, it is the second largest and fastest growing crime in the world. Currently, there are estimated to be about 40 million people enslaved. To give your viewers a frame of reference, there are about 40 million people in my state. I live in California right now. So it would be like snapping your fingers and waking up tomorrow and finding that every single Californian was in some sort of a slavery situation, be it chained to a bed in a brothel somewhere or stuck on a shrimping boat or in a gold mine or some other mine in Africa mining metals for our cell phones. It is, like I said, the fastest growing crime. It's supposed to take over drugs for the top spot inside of the next decade because there's a lot more profit for the bad guys when they're selling children for sex to sex buyers than there is when they're selling cocaine to an addict. And it's a sad thing. It goes on in Asia. We like to think about, you know, it being a problem that's over there. But it is a huge problem here in America. People say, oh, not in my town, not in my neck of the country. You know, I'm in a small town. And my first question is, well, do you have a hotel or a motel in your town? And they go, well, yeah, I mean, yeah, maybe it's just one, like a tiny little travel lodge or something. But yeah, we have one. And I say, well, then odds are your hotel or motel has already been used by a pimp to put 5, 6, 7, 8 girls in a room and sell them to the pillars of the community in your society, folks you would never think of, your scout leader, your accountant, your own husband, for all you know. I mean, these are the people that are buying children for sex. And with the advent of technology like our cell phone, all these guys have to really do is wait for their wives to go out of town on business, wait for the kids to go down the street to a slumber party. They order up a Domino's pizza, and they order up a girl, whether it's an adult girl or an underage girl, from some ad they see on Craigslist or Backpage or some site like that. So it is a huge problem, not just over there, but also on our own streets.
Can you explain the Asia aspect of it? You're right, it is a huge problem domestically, but obviously since it's part of the subtitle of your book, you know a lot about it. Why Southeast Asia? Why is it so prevalent there? Because everyone has at least heard about it or you've seen a reference to it in movies. Why there?
Well, it's a really good question. And the primary difference between trafficking here and trafficking there is the level of overtness with which it's practiced. You can walk in to a bar/brothel in one of these podunk towns I work in Southeast Asia, sit down, the mamasan will hand you a menu, you order a beer, you order a burger, you give her $5, and then you say, yeah, I want number 13. And number 13 is a boy, a girl, a woman, a man, whatever your perverse heart desires. It's a little more difficult in America to engage as a buyer in sex trafficking. It's a little more underground because we have a robust law enforcement response, a robust prosecution, hopefully in most cities and states now. But what I will say is the contributing factor, the driver, one of the drivers as it is for such a flagrant sex trafficking problem in places like Africa and Asia is they're poor. They're so poor that if they don't sell their child, their eldest daughter, to a brothel this year, all of their children are going to starve. So before you go demonizing the parents and saying, oh my gosh, how could this lady sell her, you know, one of her 7 kids to a brothel? Well, that's a very first world problem that you're setting up there. Take a step back, because her only other option is not selling her eldest daughter to a brothel and watching all 6 or 10 of her kids starve this year. And I would ask your viewer, is that a higher, better, more good end to that equation? Probably not. So a lot of these families, as tempting as it is to demonize them, are just very, very, very poor. And when you ask, well, how do you get so poor that your only option is to sell your kid or watch it starve? The answer to that is communism. 90% of the girls we work with in the south of Thailand along the Malaysia border come from Laos. What is Laos? A currently communist country. Neighboring Cambodia, what happened there? Communist overthrow under Pol Pot when I was a kid in the 1970s. So it's tied very, very closely into what is going on today. In our country, we are in the midst of communist overthrow. Khrushchev said in 1951, I'll take America without firing a single shot. I will destroy her from within. And right now, when you poll our college age, high school aged youth, fully 51% say they think it would be fun or cool to live in a communist or socialist country. I beg to differ. It is not fun or cool. And if you're a parent, knock off taking your kids to the Grand Canyon and Disney World this summer. Take them on a one-way trip to Cambodia. Show them the killing fields of Cambodia. And like my daughter, they'll come home and never, ever, ever think it would be cool to live in communism.
Talk to people about the killing fields. People who watch this show are fairly familiar with Pol Pot and that evil communist piece of trash and what happened there. But you're the one who wrote the book on it. I did not. Tell people.
Well, you know, it was sort of an added-on thought for us. My husband and daughter and I were traveling initially in Australia and New Zealand. We ended up in Southeast Asia, and we had done a tour on their largest freshwater lake of an orphanage where the poorest of the poor, the orphans with no parents, live on this floating barge full-time, 24/7. And as we were getting off the barge after our tour there to step into a canoe, our guide said, you know, if you're staying in Phnom Penh, the capital city, you're only about a half hour away from the killing fields. You should really go. And I said, well, hey, you know, newsflash, I got an 8-year-old in tow. She's sitting right here. You've met her. She's in third grade. And he said, no, it's not too scary. It's just a bunch of empty fields like you would see in Southern California. So I did a Google search, but it's highly censored when you're in these communist countries or formerly communist countries. So all that came up on my Google search were a bunch of empty rolling fields that just looked like an empty field in your town or my town. So off we go in a tuk-tuk to the killing fields of Cambodia. There's a self-guided tour. They give you a headset like this. We made sure when my daughter was listening that we had pre-listened to that track and made sure it wasn't too gory. And where the killing fields are, again, they're a half hour or so outside of Phnom Penh, and it is where one quarter of Cambodia's population was executed at point blank range with a bullet to the back of their head, although the bullets became pretty pricey pretty quick. So the communists, Khmer Rouge, who were doing this communist overthrow in the 70s, rapidly moved to just hatcheting people in the back because that is a reusable weapon, unlike a bullet and a gun, and it's cheaper. And they would just let these, you know, Cambodians fall face down into these very shallow graves, where to this day, when the rains come, 50 years later almost, it washes away the topsoil and the bones of their dead will rise to the surface. And what I didn't know from my Google search and what had not been mentioned to me by our guide to the orphanage is that at the very end of this walking path through a couple acres of killing fields that are just boring fields is a big tall structure. It kind of looks like an enormous glass Rubik's cube sticking 3-4 stories tall into the sky. And my daughter spies this monument, right, that you can kind of see here, and she goes running off to it. And by the time I catch up to her, she is literally nose to nose, eyeball to eye socket with the skull of a child who had been executed probably about the age she was at the time, age 8. And at that point, I was trapped. I didn't know about it. She found it before I could get there. I can't make her unsee what she had seen. And I'll never forget, she looked at me and she said, how did this happen? And I said, those in power lied to the people. And by the time they figured it out, it was too late. You let this be a lesson to you, my dear. Do not ever believe somebody in power. I don't care what country you're living in, simply because they are in power. They are more often than not there for your good, but for your bad. And the only time you believe somebody in power is after you've looked at what they've done and they have a tried and true proven track record. But that is how the Cambodian genocide happened. It's how the Holocaust happened. Good people believed bad leaders when they said, it's only going to be 2 weeks. We're only going to go out for 2 weeks into the fields and learn how to be farmers. You'll own nothing. You'll be happy. We'll live on a commune. And it ended with a genocide.
Lee, I hope people go buy that book. I want people to learn more about communism. We do the best we can on this show. Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you. You can find it at leedundas.com. That's how I spell my name, leedundas.com. And I would love for your readers to buy the book so we don't repeat the sins of history.
I would love the same thing. Go buy that book. I appreciate it. All right.
Thank you so much.
We need to lighten the mood. been a heavy show with all this. There's been a lot of stuff, right? We need to lighten the mood. We have a good one for you. Before we get to the lighten the mood, let's talk about something here. Let's talk about health. I know it's horrible. It's boring, isn't it? It sucks. Look, I'm 42. I've had to start embracing fruits and vegetables and things. Why? Because my body needs them. I'm a living thing. Your dog needs vitamins and minerals and probiotics and omega oils and stuff. Your dog needs all that stuff too, right? But we think we give it to our dogs with our dog food. We think we're giving them health and nutrition, but we're not giving them anything. Dog food is dead. They have to kill everything in dog food to make sure it doesn't go bad right away on the shelf. Your dog has never had nutrition. Wrap your mind around that. Start giving it to them. Watch your dog get healthier. Better breath, better coat, better energy. My dog doesn't even get ear infections anymore. It'll live longer. Roughgreens.com/Jesse gets you a free jumpstart trial bag of the natural nutritional supplement you pour on your dog's food, everything they need to live a long life. Or you can call them 833-33-MY-DOG. All right? We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way. And we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it is time for lighten the mood. And Lord knows at this point in time, we all need that, right? It's been a heavy few days, been a heavy show, maybe a little laugh. You know what makes me laugh? When people who do dumb things pay the price for it, within reason, right? When people do dumb things, just stupid, maybe a dumb, drunken antic, and you pay the price for it, it has always made me smile. Before we get to that, let's do this. You know that timeshare you keep paying your annual fees on? And you know how mad you get every time you have to pay those annual fees, sitting there cussing while you're filling out the credit card form? You know that you don't have to go through that anymore, right? You don't have to stay in that timeshare. You don't have to pay those annual fees and the special assessments and everything. You don't have to do that. Lone Star Transfer is your way out of it. Because the timeshare companies, they tell you to lock, that you're locked in, and you read the contract, and it looks like you are locked in, and, oh, no, I'm stuck for life. And then along comes Lone Star Transfer. Their specialty, what they do is they get people legally and permanently out of their timeshares. They guarantee they'll do it. They put it in writing. All you have to do is make a phone call. They're successful 99% of the time. Over 18,000 people have made that phone call and gotten out. Why don't you make yourself 18,001? Although it's probably more than that by now. 844-310-2646. Call them. One phone call from freedom. That's what you are. All right. I never stormed a field. Never did. I've always been fascinated by the idea of running onto a football field or a soccer field or a baseball field. It's just never something that appealed to me to go disrupt the game, make it all about me. And maybe one of the least appealing parts of it is that story, even as funny as it is and fun as it looks sometimes, the story always seems to end the same way. I'll see you tomorrow.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.